inside.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Good afternoon. This is SWAT Radio 91.7 on your radio dial, coming from Jacksonville, Florida. My name is Tim Lusk. I have the joy of pastoring a great group of people at Eastside Community Church out toward the beach here in Jacksonville. And I'm sitting in for Doug McCary and Brad Sykes 2 days ago, yesterday, and today. And we got a great conversation to go on with you today. I got my good friend Ray Strickland here, who, among many other things that he does in the kingdom of God, is the leader of Co-Passion Ministry, and we're going to talk about what that is. So, Ray, good to have you, brother.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, so, by the way, right before we got on the air, Brad Sykes showed up with his head shaved, and he's got that bushy goatee again.
Didn't he look great?
I think he wants to be a youth pastor or a worship pastor.
Yeah, just, I agree.
You know, he's got the look, you know. a little bit of salt and pepper in the beard, mm-hmm. and really nice. One day his beard will look as white as mine, but not quite yet. But he wanted me to make sure that everybody who's listening knows that tomorrow he's going to have his two sons on with him, and they're going to talk about preparing your child for college.
Wow.
And, yeah, and just how you prepare them, grow them up spiritually while they're children and teenagers, and then how you even go about the whole question of choosing a college,
right.
What they're going to do to nurture their spiritual life while they're away at college and so forth. So I know a lot of you moms and dads out there, if you're listening today, tune in tomorrow, 3 o'clock, SWAT Radio, and Brad will be back with his two sons. So Ray Strickland, it's good to have you, brother. I'm just delighted to have you here.
It's great to be with you, Tim. Thanks for the opportunity to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun, isn't it?
That's right.
So we're going to get to the issue of Co-Passion Ministry in a moment, but
sure.
Let's just start with, tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah, so I am married, coming on 15 years, June 28th.
Wow.
So we're pretty excited about that. Doing some, have some plans, have to finalize before the 15th anniversary comes
up. Good for
up.
You. So you're planning, you're already like a month ahead planning.
Yeah, I'm way behind.
You're like a model for all the guys out there who wait till the last minute. So thanks for giving us that model. So
So I've been married 15 years. I met Melissa right here in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I grew up in Ocala, went to school at UNF.
Okay.
And we were involved with campus ministry together. And so we got married. I had a few years together before we had kids, and 6 years ago we had our first.
Tell us about those children.
Yeah, so Isla Marie Strickland,
who's a very dear friend of her pastor.
That's
Pastor
right.
Tim gives me a hug every time she sees me. Yeah,
yeah, she loves you, Tim.
I love her. She's a sweet girl. Yeah,
she is. So she's real joy, and we had struggles having kids in our marriage, and she's definitely a gift. That we've experienced the love from the Lord from that. And then we have Raymond. We call him R4. So I'm the third.
Okay.
I'm Raymond Neal Strickland III. My father obviously is Junior, and he's the fourth. So we call him R4 for short.
That's great.
That's make good. It easy.
Yeah, and how old is he?
He's 3 years old, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Isla's?
Six,
yeah. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful family. And your wife, Melissa, is involved in the ministry.
Oh, yeah. So we're co-founders together.
Okay.
And she's very much a part of the ministry in more ways than I really can express. Yeah.
And you guys have done a lot of ministry before we get to Co-Passion in the local church at Eastside.
Yep.
When I came on staff there, you were serving as an elder.
Yep.
And you guys were doing teaching and ministering and serving in a lot of ways. I want to get to this issue of your ministry. It's called Co-Passion. So most people, when they first look at the sign, they're like, they misspelled compassion.
Yeah.
So
is this Compassion International?
Yeah, that's right. So tell us how you came up with the name Co-Passion.
Well, it's interesting. It's years of, you know, walking with the Lord and just, you know, trying to be faithful to what God wants to do in our lives. And, you know, when I was saved in eighth grade, I've always had a passion right from the very beginning with sharing my faith. So try to connect. How do I, you know, communicate, share my faith, and, you know, make disciples and do what I do every day? And Co-Passion is really birthed out of the idea that or the period of life where we're spending 10 years of in the marketplace and doing 10 years of volunteer ministry on the mm-hmm. college campus and bringing those two things together. We went to a passion conference okay. up in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
And really was able to start connecting these ideas between your faith and work and all the struggles that I went through trying to integrate faith and work in the insurance business and employee benefits and being faithful, being, you know, faithful to making disciples in the marketplace. How could this happen? How could this be? Right. How could we actually get there? And that's what really drew us to the idea of co-passion. So it's really integrating your faith and work, your primary passion, which is right. the relationship with the Lord, and your secondary passion, which is the work that God's calling you to do in your everyday life.
Yeah, and you know, Ray, this is so critical because I keep saying to our church, I'm going to say it until I know how to do it, but I keep saying, you know, we want to partner with you in the 85%+ of your life that's that right. you're not on the church campus.
Yes.
What happens on the church campus Sunday morning, Wednesday night, or whenever is really important. Mm-hmm. It's a critical piece of our spiritual formation and our walk with the Lord, but that's not where we spend our life.
Right.
And so all of these folks that are listening, whether it's a soccer mom sitting out
yes.
there in line
that's
waiting
right.
to pick
yep.
up her kids, or it's a woman who's a professional in business, or a guy who's a professional, or other people in other parts of where they work and the careers that they have, that's where their energy goes mm-hmm. mostly.
Yes.
So you guys are working that.
Yes.
And the thing I love about what you do is that you've gone to the root of it, which mm-hmm. is let's catch them as they come out of college.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So you have a ministry on the campus at UNF.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, a lot of people think, another campus ministry.
Yeah.
And there's several of those, and they're wonderful mm-hmm. Ministries that work with college students. But you challenged yourself to catch them just as they're graduating or right before they graduate.
Yeah.
So talk about how you do that.
Well, you know, and the thing about it is, each and every one of us, if we're a follower of Jesus, we have a purpose. God's designed us in a very special way. And when you come to Christ, now we have all these spiritual gifts, and you have your whole history, how God's made you and designed you. And how do you really take all of who you are, and now as a follower of Christ, how do you take those spiritual gifts and really understand what they are? There's so much that's missed. People just go from the next thing to the next thing to the next thing.
Right.
You know, when I graduate college, it means I'm now supposed to have this great job. I'm supposed to get married. I'm supposed to buy this house. I'm supposed to have this car. And, of course, you know, that's why you have books like Radical that came out from David Platt and John Piper, Don't Waste Your Life. Because now it's like, well, but what happens is people still don't even have the time to stop and think before mm-hmm. they go to that next thing.
Right.
What is God really calling me to do and to be? Who is he really calling me to be? We don't take enough time to listen. To truly listen to God and his word and his voice, what he really wants us to do and who he wants us to be. And so what happens is you've got a lot of Christians who graduate college that just think that they're supposed to do whatever this next thing is. And 20 years down the road, they stop and they think, what have I done with my life?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, yesterday I had our good friend Chris Hazlip on, and we were talking about the fact that a lot of men don't dream. And I meet a lot of men, as you do, and in my particular case, I meet a lot of men more toward middle life, and a lot of them have this sort of deadness in their eyes,
mm-hmm.
and they did exactly what you're describing. They launched into a career because that's what you're supposed to do, and that's what they trained to do, but never had anyone take the time to mentor them
yeah.
or disciple them and how to bring the reality of Christ to that.
I call it marketplace discipleship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spiritual mentoring.
Yeah, sure. And then they get down the road and they're like dead man walking. You know, they come home, they sit in a chair, they stare at the TV, they don't have much of a relationship with their wife or their kids because there's no passion in their life.
Yeah.
And that's why I teed up the question about co-passion.
And it's really about purpose. It yes. really comes down to really, truly knowing your purpose. And they've identified this, obviously, God's, you know, unveiled this through, you know, revealed it through scriptures. But then the secular world is really, you know, hone in on this. If a company, like a Fortune 500 company, whatever business you're in, or a company, they understand that the greatest thing they can do to keep their employees you know, thriving at
right.
their organization is to connect purpose to what they're doing every day.
Mm-hmm.
They know that's the single greatest thing that they can do as an organization to keep people producing.
Yeah, I read a study several years ago. Harvard Business School did a survey, And in this survey, they ask employees what were the highest priorities, most important things about their job. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, getting more money was like number five on the list.
Not, it's not even
and
enough.
Way at the top, way above everything else, was the leader of the company comes by every once in a while and says, you know, what you do here really matters.
Right.
You are really helping us achieve our purpose.
Yes, and that's it. And now if you can connect in your spiritual life all the fullness of who God wants you to become, your purpose, with now understanding that your work is an act of worship to God,
yes,
and you're giving back to him in that way, then all of a sudden everything just clicks and you get it and you're like, I can wake up every day, even if it's, you know, changing diapers or, you know, take out the trash every day, you know, whatever it is, that it can be the most simple, most minuscule thing, the thing that you think is not important. It is important to God and his economy and his kingdom. And
boy,
yeah,
that just explodes that myth.
Yes,
that somehow when you become more and more super spiritual, then suddenly you become like an evangelist, like Billy Graham,
or a
pastor. Or you go into on a mission field. The reality that our work is part of our worship.
It is,
and to do it with excellence is, in fact, a large part of how we witness to other people.
Yeah, and the thing is, the end game is not just witnessing. Witnessing is right there. It's on the heart of God, you know, seek and save the lost. And yes, it needs to be. But the worship itself, you know, missions, you know, exist because worship doesn't. It's getting people to understand that they can worship God in anything and everything that they do. And that is the game changer for the church in the American church.
You know, where this came to me years ago, I was sitting and thinking about the ministry of Jesus. And I thought, this is a question I ask. When was Jesus more holy? When was he more pleasing to his father? When he was working in his dad's carpenter shop? When he was helping his mom clean up the house?
That's a great question.
When he was down by the riverside? When he was hanging on a cross? The answer is all of what he did was holy his father and was a sacrifice to his father. Now, see, that opens up a whole area of excitement for people who are listening today. I'm really excited to talk about this. Hey, this is SWAT Radio. And I've got my good friend Ray Strickland here talking
SWAT.
About... Huh?
SWAT.
Yeah, SWAT. I've got him here with me, and we're talking about his life and ministry. We're going to talk about some things like how you can know that you're living out God's purpose in your own career, how you can be involved in helping college students as they graduate to get involved in God's purposes in their life. What an exciting thing to open the door of worship and work and service to that 85%+ of your life that you're not at church. That's pretty exciting. And I also want to remind you that Brad is going to be back tomorrow with his two sons, and they're going to be talking about preparing your kids for college as kids are going off to college. So this is SWAT Radio. We'll be back in about a minute or so. After we take a quick break. Thanks for being with us today.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Okay, we're back. This is SWAT Radio. I'm Tim Lusk, sitting in for Doug and Brad. I want to remind you that Brad will be here tomorrow with his two sons talking about how to prepare your children for college and their spiritual nurture while they're in college. Everybody has a story, either their own story or story of a friend who had a child who was faithful in church, went off to college, and went off the deep end. And it's a sad, sad experience. I got my friend Ray Strickland here with me. We're involved in a very fascinating conversation, and I would say transformational, life-changing yes. conversation, if people really hear what you have to say about this. So thanks for being here.
I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
So we were talking about the fact that the vast majority of people, except for guys like me who are pastors, live their life off of church campus. Probably 10 to 15% yeah. maximum of their world is on the church campus. So part of the role of the church is to partner with people in those areas, in their homes, their neighborhoods, and, yeah. and their work. And in particular, these guys that are out there, they're at work today and they're dragging through this thing and they're wishing they could be home. And you were talking very excitedly about mm-hmm. the idea that our work actually is our worship.
Yes.
And I scribbled down as, at the break that there's this kind of symbiosis. There's this connection, this feeding connection between the worship that happens on Sunday morning
yes.
feeds the worship that goes on in,
exactly.
during the week. And when you're worshiping during the week, what that brings to the local church on
yes.
Sunday morning is pretty profound. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, and there's so many things that what happens there. I mean, you go to church on Sunday, you're together, you celebrate with other believers, you mourn together about the challenges of the week, you worship God and what he's doing, and then you take all that that you've just experienced, right? You've been encouraged, you've been equipped, and then you take it into on Monday, and now if you really work as worship, you're worshiping unto the Lord, all the things that you're doing, people start seeing things different about you. There's this glow about you. It's Monday morning. You right. say, you know, I just had an incredible church experience. You share what God put on your heart or changed you or transformed you in some way, and you're able to start bringing that into your 9-to-5 all the time, and people start understanding there's something unique and something different going on, especially when somebody who's becomes a new believer, and then all of a sudden they're in the workplace and all those interactions and all those people they know,
right.
it starts, what's different about you and
right.
you know, all
yeah.
that, and it makes a huge impact. And realizing, you know, a lot of people are not happy going to work. So, you know, what makes you so joyful? Why do you have purpose? What gets you up to be this, you know, to come into the office or to do this job? You know, what's different? And it has a big effect, not only in your life, but obviously on your witness to other people.
Right. Yeah, a lot of times when I ask people, I'm teaching through Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and I'll say, so what was the curse of Adam? And inevitably, everybody says, work.
Yeah.
And I go, wait a minute. It's not work. Work was not the curse. Work was there. It was a dignified, wonderful, worshipful thing that God gave to Adam and Eve before they ever fell into sin.
Right.
It's the hardness of the work
and
all of that, the difficulty that was a part of the curse. And you see the light go on in people's eyes
yeah.
and they go, wait a minute. So I'm not being cursed by God because I have to get out of bed every morning and go work this thing that I'm not sure I even enjoy doing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So let's drill down a little bit further on that. So Chris Hazlett was here yesterday, mm-hmm. and one of the things he was saying about his own profession, the
yep.
law profession, is that being a person of your word, just being a person
yeah.
who can be counted on to your yea be yea and your nay be nay,
mm-hmm.
is huge in all of business, but
oh,
in
yeah.
particular dealing with law and with adversaries and with judges.
Yeah.
And then if you add to that things like just being compassionate toward people, treating people with kindness,
mm-hmm.
being honest, being people of integrity, those are hard things to do consistently, but they are part of our worship of God as we work.
Yes? Yeah. I mean, I think the whole thing about integrity, and obviously our worship of God goes beyond our ethics. And when we're talking about integrity, we're talking about who we are as a whole person.
Right.
And allowing Christ, Jesus, who is at the center of lives, to let his light shine through those acts of integrity. And that's where transformation's, you know, going to take place. And the thing is, so many of us going through a 9-to-5, maybe we didn't grow up in the church, or maybe don't have like a campus ministry type of experience. Maybe we haven't gone through that discipleship, you know, to really understand who our identity is. So when we start thinking about integrity, and I'm sure there's people out there right now that are listening that feels like, man, I blow it all the time, mm-hmm. or I don't follow through on what I say I'm supposed to do, or I cuss all the time at work. I mean, before I became a believer in eighth grade, I cussed all the time. So when I came to Christ, the pastor led me to Christ. One of the elders led me to Christ. I came to church cussing. That was just who I was.
Right.
And so a lot of times we have this, we know we have this inconsistency, and we think about, what's the hope for me? How do I actually? Well, it's the same for everybody. It's right. Turning to the Lord and worship and confess and just living that out every day. And eventually, as the Holy Spirit works in your life and as you walk in obedience, you're going to see that fruit. Mm. And you might even recognize it. Your friends might turn to you and say, what's different about you?
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're like, I didn't realize it because you don't cuss anymore.
It's like like a compelling thing, isn't it? Yeah, I was thinking as you were saying that, and this is probably just the Holy Spirit convicting me as a pastor, that so many of us as pastors, when we think of discipling other people, it's almost like we're trying to make people like us.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Be at church more, do things like we do. Mm. Well, I'm at church a lot because that's where I work. As opposed to, how do we challenge pastors who might be listening or elders, leaders in their churches, to really disciple people in the area of their professions and their careers, be that whether it's in the marketplace or at home or whatever.
I mean, just a couple of things. 90% of people in the United States, they don't go to church, or 70% don't go to church. So right. You're looking at the fact that our greatest mission field is in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to church. So what happened? Why don't we send pastors? And we equipped our members in our church to go and be Christ at the workplace.
Yeah.
I mean, when's the last time you had a pastor actually visit where you're going to work?
Right.
And bring lunch in for everybody. Say, hey, let's go have lunch together, or bring it in for the office.
Well, I haven't done the lunch thing, but I do try to visit people from time to time in their place
and
of
that's,
business.
That's huge, and that's transformative. And that's where there's so much, there's a million and one of those opportunities where we can bring Christ to the workplace.
Wow, I got to write that down. So, do I have a church budget for
no? Yes.
Anyway, so taking this idea a step further, you got the passion to train young people, mm-hmm. young men and women, as they're getting ready to graduate, connect them with business people out in the marketplace, and try to create a connection there. So, talk about how that works in Co-Passion.
Yeah. So, I mean. We look in a lot of ways. We look like a traditional campus ministry. We're like Campus Crusade meets marketplace ministry. Mm-hmm. Combined. So we do just like any other campus ministry in the sense that we go on campus, we invite students to Christ, and we invite them into His mission and invite them into what Co-Passion has to offer in the relationships. We started digging in. We get to know people. We get to what's their story? What are they all about? And understand them. And a lot of times they don't even realize what their story is and what their life is all about. Yeah. So it starts to, uncover that. And then we just start, we meet with them, we start investing in them spiritually and professionally. So we don't separate their spiritual and professional growth. Like right from the very beginning, why did you pick that major? Is there something unique about that story?
And that's a critical piece.
Yes.
Because so much of Christian discipleship tends to kind of separate
us. It's bifurcating.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah, it just totally separates it. And I understand that there's a value in doing that by being really hyper-focused on your spiritual growth. You can sort of see the difference. We learn by contrast. So we can separate those things. We can get it. But it doesn't really help us when we graduate college and we're, 3 years into our jobs. And, we're not really know how to translate what we do into that. So one of the key things that we want to teach a student on a spiritual – there's really only really one thing that really drives everything we do as far as discipling a student, and that is teaching them how to abide. Is teaching them how to walk with God by faith, and abiding with all the things that go into that, right? Like treasuring Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, praying and asking for things that are on God's heart and His will, listening to God and listening, getting into His Word, and not just reading the Bible and doing an inductive Bible study, but getting into the Word of God till you hear what God is actually communicating to you, responding, and actually obeying.
Right.
That is the most important spiritual activity I can teach anybody on this planet, and especially a young person, a college student.
Sure. And once that's done in the context of their work and their study,
yeah.
Then it doesn't seem so weird
exactly.
And disconnected from the culture.
We got to teach principles and ideas that can be truly transferable 100% to whatever you do, whatever God calls you to do.
So you have some normal kind of meetings like most ministries do.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that in a moment. And we want to make sure, before we get off the air, to make sure everybody has your contact information and so forth. But then you have this leap, this connection.
Yes.
Where you try to take this young person, let's just say a person who's studying computer science.
Mm-hmm.
And
perfect.
You want this, because UNF has a wonderful...
They do. Computer, they have a great program.
One of the best in the country, from what I understand. But so this young man or this young woman is part of your ministry, and they're getting ready to graduate. And it would be helpful, very helpful to them, to see what the next level of Christian faith looks like. So you connect them with mentors out in the marketplace.
That's right.
Talk about how you do that.
Yeah, so we just get you know, students will fill out information. We get them to apply. And then we connect with believers in the marketplace. We can't under the current model, we can't reach all these college students with with more staff people with different all these campus ministries. But we can with the marketplace. So we could get close to a 5-to-1 or even a 1-to-1 ratio if we can connect God's people that are already in the marketplace that already know about computer science and get them to And so what we have is we're actually building out some new software and programs right now. But the easiest thing is this: the students apply, we get the mentors to apply, and then we sync them up when they're ready. And we have a guidebook. It's a 4-session guidebook. It only takes 6 hours. It's a total for a mentor to be involved.
Okay.
Yeah, for a total of 6 hours over 4 1-on-1 meetings. We'll connect you same gender, same field of study. You meet in public. You have a guidebook. It's easy. And now we're building some software even around it to make it even better. But you'll be transformed because you're going to be sharpening your soul. You're going to get an understanding of what you're missing that the younger generation needs to bring. And you're going to learn about you're going to be like excited about why you got into the industry to begin with, because you see another young person who's walking with Christ, or maybe somebody who's not yet a believer but is interested in Christian things. And then you get to actually share your story with them as well.
Boy, I am hearing this massive shift taking place out there with our listeners, where some men and women are going, you know what? I've always wondered, I've always longed for the idea that what I do with most of my week could really count for Christ.
Yes.
And I go to church and I try to be as faithful there as I can. And sometimes I can and sometimes I can't because of my schedule. But now you're telling me that I could actually have an impact not only on the people I work with, but now you're telling me
the next
actually be involved in mentoring the next generation.
You don't have to quit your day job to make disciples and change the world.
Yeah, and you don't have to be like the pastor. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is an exciting conversation. I hope you guys are loving it. 904-401-1413 if you want to call in our final segment. We're going to take a hard break now for the news, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. So I think we've been having some technical difficulties, but we're going to go ahead and keep talking, and hopefully you're listening. And if we get interrupted again, then we'll just go back to the beginning.
Hey.
So anyway, I'm here with Ray Strickland. We're talking about Co-Passion Ministries and how you can live out your faith in the marketplace, how you can be involved in helping a ministry called Co-Passion that helps college students, just as they're getting ready to graduate, to connect with people in the marketplace and be mentors.
And creating internships at your company, too.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
What kind of person does it take to be a mentor in your ministry?
Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to be really messed up.
All right, I got the first one down.
Yeah. So if you're not messed up, if you don't need Jesus, then you're not a good mentor. But if you don't have a perfect life and but you have some life experience and you recognize that you do have some things in your life that, maybe you're obviously you spent at least about 3 years in your industry. That's a key requirement for us. You have to have some knowledge in your industry. That's you have to be able to offer that. Besides that, you don't have to be a perfect Christian, just somebody who's real and somebody who loves Jesus. and you're able to offer a little bit of that next step, you know. So you have to have something. You don't have to be a 30-year veteran in a field. In fact,
right.
It's probably better that you're not. And that's really it. And you have to have like 6 hours over 4 months available to yourself, you know, and that's all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many mentors do you have now?
Well, we just launched. This is our first program. We have about 30 that have applied.
Okay.
And we have 15 mentoring relationships ongoing right now.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so these students meet with these mentors, you said, four times?
Yeah, so we have a guidebook that walks you through four sessions.
Okay. And so over, you said, a four-month period?
Yeah, once the idea is you meet once a month or for a semester, like a summer, spring, or fall semester. You'll meet once a month. It's about an hour and a half session.
Okay.
Yeah.
So somebody sitting out there listening to this who says, well, you know, I know a little bit about my profession, and I would love to invest in a young person.
Yeah.
How would they get in touch with you? What's your contact?
Really easy. All you have to do is go to copassion.org, O-R-G.
Okay.
And then you click mentors, and you'll see a little place that you can apply. Fill it out. It's a quick little application process, but we have to have, you know, an understanding of who you are. And
that, right. Sure. Sure. So do you interview these mentors?
Yeah. So most of the time right now, it's all been by, I already have a relationship with everybody that's applied, you know,
right.
So we're putting it out there here on the radio. So we have to sit down and get to know you. And, but you know,
and you try to make that as closely connected profession to profession.
That's
the
right.
Student and the mentor.
Yeah, it's got to be in the same general industry. So the closest as possible is the idea. We need, you know, four times more mentors to apply and be available, right?
Right.
Then we will have, you know, mentees or students.
Okay.
So we need lots of people to apply. So we have a big bucket to pull from. And then basically we just give you a call and say, hey, you know, there's a student, you know, they're ready. Is this a good time in your life to be a mentor?
Okay. Yeah. So that's Copassion.
Yep. Copassion.
Without the M, Compassion. Copassion.
That's right.
.org. .org.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, give me an example of a placement that you made recently that really turned out really good.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing about it is, we've had, I went to Ponte Vedra Presbyterian Church recently. They have a men's breakfast. They, mm-hmm. they have a great little men's breakfast. Went down there, shared a little bit about Copassion. And one of the guys there, I won't mention his name just to make sure I hadn't asked for permission, but he's involved with a company here in town. It's actually a for-profit, obviously, but publicly traded company.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, he's looking for young talent that can come in and fill this role. And, you know, he put it out there. He told us about it. We went out to our connections and our Copassion network, and we found two people that would be great fits for that.
Okay.
And actually winded up saving him and his company thousands of dollars on not having to pay for a staffing company.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking a big time
right.
savings.
Sure.
And what we did is we connected a young believer and possibly someone who's not a believer but had the skills and talents to people at his company that were believers because they met the work requirement. So we helped a young believer move forward on their career and possibly somebody who's not yet a believer, follower of Jesus, get connected to a boss who is so that they could come to Christ naturally through those relationships. In fact,
sure.
We've had two students come to Christ in the last year that came to Christ working at their company.
Amazing.
And they're the ones that ask the boss, hey, what's different about you?
Yeah, I thought you couldn't do that at work, right?
Yeah. And it's not, you know, we're just creating the opportunities and the environment. And the thing is, people don't realize how much freedom you have to be a witness for Christ and how much freedom you actually have to do ministry through your business.
Right.
Most business owners, and I would say most business owners that are here, don't recognize all that they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much you can do. It's really amazing.
Well, it's that power of leadership. You know, I had a professor years ago. He used to say, so you think you're a leader, turn around and see if anybody's following
you,
right?
That's the only requirement.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. But to be the kind of leader, whether it's the leader of your home, your children, or mm-hmm. it's a leader of a major corporation and everything in between, to be the kind of person that people just love to be around and appreciate
yes.
and know they're appreciated and respected
yeah.
is really contrary to the darkness of the world that we live in. That
mm-hmm.
kind of thing shines out amazingly
yes.
in the darkness of our world. And a lot of times it's not so much about preaching all the time as it is just being, a Christian person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. So if a student is out there listening, mm-hmm. and they go, oh, wow, I go to UNF, and I thought, so you have events that take place?
Yeah, so, you know, we're going to be on campus when the fall kicks off at UNF, and okay. so we'll have tents up, we'll have opportunities for students to get connected, we'll have a weekly meeting where they can jump in too. We're even we're planning on doing a monthly gathering for Jacksonville, Co-Passion Jacksonville, at Eastside Community Church, is just 5 minutes from UNF. Once a month on the first Thursday, where all of those that are involved with Co-Passion, companies, mentors, internships, students, they can get plugged in, so we can see how this works together as the body of Christ going out to mm-hmm. bring Christ to the marketplace. But yeah, so we'll meet every week on campus on Thursdays at 7:30. We'll have a tent set up in the first week. You'll be able to get connected to us, get involved with our community. Jess is coming on staff. Kirk, who'll be leading worship.
Right.
He's phenomenal in worship and discipleship and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Well, and I hope some church leaders are out there listening today, because if you want a way to connect to this generation that's graduating, talk to the business leaders and the community leaders in your church and say, this is a great way to plug in and have an impact.
And that's our heart. You know, one of the big things, our heart with Co-Passion, is that we would be able to engage the body of Christ, the church, to connect students, especially students. Let's say you come from Miami or you come from Georgia somewhere. You're outside of your community. You're coming to UNF. About 60% of the students are coming from outside of the area or going there, but they don't have a church home yet. Uh-huh. The easiest way to connect them to the church is to connect God's people in the marketplace that have a similar interest in their field of study and their work to them, and then get them plugged into the church. That's the easiest, most natural way for that to happen.
Now, do you have any foreign students involved in your...
All the time.
Yeah.
In fact, we're very multi-ethnic as an organization, and we're multinational in the sense that internationals come to UNF. They're looking for internships. In fact, one of the students that we just helped was for international. And that's where we've had an incredible – because they understand the value of what we're bringing to them. But also we find that the students that are really attracted to Co-Passion are students that are high achievers. Mm-hmm. The ones that they want to achieve high things, they've been given a lot of opportunities in their life, and they want to make the most of it.
Well, the fact that they're thinking about the career right before they graduate in and of itself is, I mean, some guys are just wanting to finish and go surf, for the summer, and they're already thinking
about planning it through.
You know, it's interesting, the whole issue of foreign students, just for a moment. Mm-hmm. There's probably, I haven't seen the latest statistics, maybe you know, but there's probably at least 1 million foreign students in the United States or more.
Yeah.
And if only 10% of those were won to Christ and discipled and sent back to their nation, that would be more than double the Protestant missionary force around the world and people sent back to their countries. They know the culture, they know the language, and so forth. But the other piece of that is, so many foreign students who come to America for education go back and they immediately become leaders in their community and in some cases leaders in their nations and their continents.
Yeah.
So that's a highly leveraged thing.
Yeah. And in fact, and that's one of the things why I think listeners should get involved with Co-Passion, because we are making that kind of impact naturally through just how we do it. We don't have to create another program to do it. It's just God just naturally bringing us those people.
Yeah. So what part does Melissa play?
Every part.
Yeah.
She's really the genius behind anything that we do. I mean, Melissa...
well, that's obvious. Yeah. I just want to say, married up, way up, right?
Melissa is a lot of behind the scenes, really critical thinking, you know, processing, praying, understanding strategy. We're still very young. So we're building a lot of the infrastructure and the strategy, make sure that it's all in place in the right way. And she has been tremendous. She is just a strategic thinker. She could be, I used to talk with her dad about this, but she could be a CEO of a large Fortune 500 company because she has such clear-headedness and she knows how to relate to people. So she's definitely gifted in that space. And it's great that I get to...
You get the benefit from that, right? Yeah, my wife's the same way, yeah. Hey, we're having a fascinating conversation. I hope it's fascinating to you, about the whole subject of how you can live out your life in Christ in the context that's off of the church campus. Mm-hmm. It's pretty clear what we can do when you come to church. You help teach the kids, you sing in the choir, you lead worship, or you participate, you give money to the missionaries. That part's pretty clear. But living out life in Christ in the marketplace is what we're talking about.
And, it's the great adventure of the Christian life.
Yeah, it really is. So Ray Strickland's here with Compassion Ministry. We're going to come back in just a moment with our final segment, and we'll talk to you guys in just a minute. Hey, if you want to call in, 904-401-1413. This is SWAT Radio, 91.7.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors. They offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Okay, we're back.
Hey, hey, hey.
This is SWAT Radio. Ray, I just come here for the music.
Me too.
The ambiance.
Yeah, I got to get back. It brings me back, man.
But I got to get Doug some new music at some point. Anyway, Noah, hey, I'm glad to be here. Tim Lusk sitting in for Doug and Brad. And what a joy it's been to be with you guys this week. A reminder, as Brad has asked us to let you guys know, that he and his two sons will be here tomorrow on the program to talk about preparing your kids for college.
And that's
it's an absolutely critical thing. Gosh, the last statistic I read was something like 3% of the generation that's now in school even believes in God. They're calling it the first atheist generation.
Oh, wow. I believe it. I haven't heard that, but I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's get back to our conversation. And, I think maybe we have a call. Do we have a caller? Okay. Anyway. All right. So we'll come back to that in a moment. So real quick, we've got just this final segment.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that you guys that you guys out there got some resources. Real quick, go through some resources
for us. Two books. I think if you really want to take this serious, maybe you've been out of college for a little while, you're in the workplace. Two books you got to get is Matt Perman's What's Best Next? How the Gospel Transforms the Way You Get Things Done. He worked with John Piper for 13 years. He's actually the one who launched their website and radio program. And then Henry Blackaby or the Blackabies on Spiritual Leadership. You got to get those two books, and you got to spend some time with the Lord on that.
Well, pretty much by the Blackaby, anything by the Blackabies, great how to walk with the Lord and experience Christ in your life. That's What's Best Next by Matt Perman, P-E-R-M-A-N.
Yep.
And you have us, our leadership team. You're meeting with our elders this week, and you've got us been looking at some podcasts by Craig.
Craig Groeschel's got Groeschel. There's four podcasts that I listen to. Craig Groeschel has one, and you definitely want to check that out. He does a podcast every month. Andy Stanley obviously has a great leadership podcast. Henry Cloud has one, Leadership University. It's a good starter on some great ideas. And then I really like StoryBrand, Donald Miller, who wrote Blue Like Jazz.
Right.
He's got a nice podcast on communicating messaging. Communicating, it's like marketing and those things, but it applies to every part of how we communicate. Mm-hmm. Those four podcasts are definitely worth listening to on a regular basis. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, there's a lot of resources out there online. So we got a caller. So let's hear from our caller.
Yeah, I got a question for Tim.
Yeah.
So I leave, and you can't even get the music right on the half hour. You got the opening music coming in, the opening countdown.
Doug, listen.
I'm like, what is going on?
Doug, listen. I told you last time you called in, it's not a good thing when you're the only person who calls in on your call-in talk show. No, we've had a couple of technical glitches here, but yeah, we're doing okay.
But then you complain about my music, and Ray likes my music. Yeah. Ray likes the music, don't you, Ray?
Yeah, I actually like the music, but, you know, that's kind of like old school. I mean, it depends on who your audience is, right?
Yeah, it's not old enough school, right? Where are you, Doug?
It's more than a feeling, baby.
We are just passing through West Memphis, Arkansas, headed to Purdy, Missouri.
Nice.
We're going to be out in Purdy, Missouri for about a week. My kids are going to Camp Kennecuck. And Lori and I are going to be at Camp Barnabas,
which is a camp for
special needs kids out there. It's a camping experience for kids with autism and Down syndrome. It's a great, great camp. So if people are listening and they've got kids that have Down syndrome or autism, this camp, they need to check it out because it is a one-of-a-kind camp where the kids have really, really great experiences and a lot of good counselors and staff. And I get to be camp pastor for a week out there.
Good for you. Good for you. And you and Lori get to do that together?
Yes, we do that together. And then we get a week alone while our Abby and Becca go to camp. Abby and Becca will be with us while I'm camp pastor, but then they get to go be participants in the camp the next week, and all the other kids are at camp, and Lori and I get a week along.
Doug, I told the church Sunday morning that we're going to let Abby be the worship leader one Sunday morning.
This girl, she has got a special gift for leading in worship, doesn't she, Tim?
Yeah, she's awesome. She's a sweet, sweet girl, and you talk about a passion for Jesus. Yeah, I love seeing it. How old is she?
She is 12. Going to be 13 in November, but she is doing awesome.
Well,
she's
good.
Doing great.
Well, hey, listen, you guys have a great time ministering to those special needs kids. I know that's something that's deep on your heart, and have a great time with your wife getting away. You need to be with her a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And hey, I did want to tell you, I listen Tuesday and Wednesday. You did a great job. I loved hearing Judy share about the crisis pregnancy, and obviously Chris sharing yesterday. And Ray, always good to have you on and what you're doing with Co-Passion. And just thanks a lot, Tim, for being there. And Steve, keep him straight. Don't let him touch the dials anymore.
Well, it's all these wires here. I'm just fascinated by wires. I keep pulling them. Hey, we love you guys.
Love you too. Thank you so much, Tim, for doing
that.
All right. Oh, hey, real quick, tomorrow, Brad and his son are going to be on.
Right.
And his son who just finished college, or he's about to finish, and he's going to be talking about ways that parents can prepare their kids for, you know, going off. And Ray, that might be something you can speak to too, seeing the kids that come there. So anyway, that's what Brad's going to be touching on tomorrow.
Yeah, and Brad stopped by right before we went on air, and he's got that long goatee again. Like I think he really wants to be like a youth pastor or a worship leader or something.
The bald head and the goatee. That's funny. But, hey, and Tim, quick reminder, tell everybody to pray for us in July. We're going to be, Brad and I will be over in the Philippines with our team.
Right.
And so starting next week for a period of, I think, 7 weeks, we're going to be playing a best of series on SWAT.
Okay.
But
that's
a reminder for people to pray for us. Okay?
Yeah, pray for you guys. Absolutely. Hey, we love you guys. You guys have a great time. Be careful traveling, okay?
All right. Take care. Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye.
What a great call.
Yeah. That's twice he's done that to me. He's called in and
tried. Is that Arkansas? That's pretty.
Purdy.
It's pretty out there.
Oh, boy. Hanging around me now, you're making bad puns.
Yeah.
So we got just a few minutes left here. So Ray Strickland here with Co-Passion Ministries with me in the studio today. And, boy, where do we land here? We've launched so many wonderful, wonderful things. We've got to have you back at some point. But so for the people out there, let me just see if we can summarize real quick.
Yeah.
First of all, just knowing how you can live your life in Christ out in the marketplace, wherever you go, whatever that is for you, whether you're you know, a soccer mom, or you a basketball coach, or you drive a truck, or you work in an office building or whatever.
Or you're closing, you know, multi-million dollar deals or whatever.
Exactly. that Christ is part of that, and that is a huge part of your worship.
Yes.
And the quality of your worship on Sunday has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
That fact alone, if we said nothing else today but that, that is profoundly transformational for people, because the vast majority of Christians that I talk to have no real sense that what they're doing outside of the church campus is really having an impact for Christ. But then they can connect with young people, students that are just getting ready to graduate, and they can actually mentor some of these students. And before we finish, we'll get your contact information again. And then somebody's sitting out there going, well, I'm thinking of going back to college, and or maybe my child is getting ready to go to college.
At UNF.
In fact, maybe somebody out there saying, well, now that I know this is at UNF, I might steer my child to try to go to UNF to be part of this ministry.
Yeah.
So with the last few moments we have, give us your closing thoughts. What's most deeply on your heart as we pull the dial down here in just a moment?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think what's mostly on my heart is that, God, your work matters. And I know we've hit on that from a different angle, but your work matters to God. It's more than just going to the office and checking off a box. What you do, whether you're teaching the next kid, you know, the next generation, maybe you're an educator, or maybe you're a lawyer, or maybe, again, you're driving a truck, you know, to North Carolina right now for some reason, whatever it is that you're doing, your work deeply matters to God. And we need to do a better job in the church to help you understand what that work is and how meaningful it is, and release you to worship God in that. And then let all the benefits of that happen in your life and to the building of the kingdom and the church. It's the one thing that could be probably the biggest game changer in the United States today is if we'll do that for our people. And if you just take the time, I would just say that the most important thing that you and I can do every day, every morning, every night before we go to bed is to kickstart our day with connecting with God.
Mm-hmm.
And walking with him throughout the day, letting, you know, the presence of God be with you. And it's not going to be, you know, if that's foreign to you, you know, that's going to be hard, you know, maybe at first. But as you walk with God, as you listen, let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let what's on his heart, what is on God's heart for you today, and walk that out. Let that be a reality for you.
Sure.
Yeah.
So if you could give someone one book along with their Bible in that area of their life, what it means to kickstart your day and abide in Christ, what would that book be?
That's a great question. I would probably say, you know, Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God.
Yeah. And that's a group study you can do,
you
too.
You can do it a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for the person out there in the marketplace who's listening, you gave us two books. What's Best Next, How the Gospel Transforms the Way You Get Things Done by Matt Perman. And then, of course, the Blackaby's book, Spiritual Leadership. I don't know if a lot of guys think of themselves as leaders, but the reality is almost everybody is a leader of somebody.
If you have influence and you have a purpose, you're a leader.
Yeah. There you go. And if you take it seriously, then you can incorporate this whole idea of I'm not only a leader, but I'm a shepherd.
Yes.
You know, and studying the whole shepherd idea in the Bible helps people. And for the moms out there who hang with their kids all day long, and which, except for maybe defusing nuclear weapons, probably being the mother of a small children is one of the hardest jobs.
Yes.
And that they can learn that they're leaders and shepherds as well, no matter where we are. Boy, this has been a great, exciting conversation with my good friend Ray Strickland here today, head of Co-Passion Ministries. And, boy, we've been all over the globe with this thing today.
Right.
And we're going to have you back at some point. But the contact information again is?
Yeah, so check out copassion.org.
Okay.
And you'll get everything from there.
And just click on anything you're interested in. Yep. And if you have, by the way, if you have students at UNF, get them involved in this early on so they can follow this track. Hey, this is Tim Lusk, pastor at Eastside Community Church, sitting in with Ray Strickland today. We're so delighted that you've listened today and hope that this has been something that's encouraged you and built you in your faith. God bless you. This is SWAT Radio.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.